Matthew chapter 7, from verse 24. We've reached the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the first big block of teaching from Jesus that we have in Matthew's Gospel. So we're just reading the final few verses on page 972, if you have one of the church Bibles. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Good evening. My son, Andrew, has been prompting me several times this evening to introduce myself, because I often forget. So my name is Rob. I know a number of you know me already, but in case you didn't know me, my name's Rob. I'm one of the elders here. And can I say, along with the welcome you've already had from Anne, just a really warm welcome. It's wonderful to see you out here this evening and to be worshipping God together. So this evening, as Anne said already, we come to the last in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Before I continue, let me pray for us. Father, as we've just sung together, please would you plant your word deep down in us and cause it to bear fruit. Whether these words tonight, Lord, are familiar and we've known them for years, and sung songs about them, or Lord, whether they're new to us, please would you come by your Spirit, work in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, that we might go away into the week ahead of us, declaring by how we live that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he would be glorified. We ask in his name. Amen. So, as I said, this evening is the last in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. So can I ask, quick show of hands, if you have been here, let's say, for at least two or three of the other sermons, or are somewhat familiar with the contents of the Sermon on the Mount. Quick show of hands. All right, so that's quite a lot of you. So I'm going to give you an exercise to do. You have 1 minute, it's not very long, 1 minute with someone close to you. What can you remember that Jesus includes in the Sermon on the Mount? Briefly, don't go into lots of detail on one verse. Topics, what does he cover in the Sermon on the Mount? Off you go. And without Bibles, from here. So should I pick on Seth to give all the answers, yeah? We could do it like just a minute where you can't repeat them. Yeah. All right, 10 seconds. All All right, now, Seth. It's all right, I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm not going to pick on any of you. Here's this brief summary I wrote, and this doesn't cover everything, but these are just some of the things that Jesus spoke of in this sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the merciful, those who are persecuted. Be different as salt and light. Be genuinely righteous, more righteous than the Pharisees. Deal rightly with anger, lust, and divorce. Don't make oaths, simply keep your word. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, love your enemies and pray for them. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Give, pray, and fast in secret, not to impress others. Pray daily, putting God first, asking him to provide, forgive, and protect you. Store up treasure in heaven, not on earth. Serve God, not money. Don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first God's kingdom and trust your Father to care for you. Don't judge others before judging yourself. Ask, seek, and knock, knowing your Father delights to answer. Enter by the narrow gate, stay on the narrow road, and beware of false prophets. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Like, what a sermon from Jesus. Wow. And that was just a brief summary. It'd be fun just to read through it all at length instead. And now we've reached Jesus' conclusion. Now, if you were here last week, Andy Grundy took us to Jesus' solemn warning near the end of his teaching, where Jesus says, simply saying, Lord, Lord, or even doing impressive things in Jesus' name will not save us. The question is not whether we know about Jesus, but whether Jesus knows us. And straight after that warning comes this short parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise man builds his house on the rock. And if we looked in Luke, it tells us he dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The foolish man built on sand, a shallow foundation, really no foundation at all. And then the storm came. The rain fell, the storms rose, the streams rose, and the winds beat against both houses. One stood firm because it had been built on the rock. The other collapsed with a great crash. Storms are coming. However you or I build our lives, storms will come. Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. Just think of the different storms people face. Bereavement, divorce, serious illness or injury, financial hardship, losing a job, retirement, or other major life changes. Many of us will be facing one of those right now, if not more than one. And that's only in our part of the world. Across the world, many also face additional storms: hunger, unsafe water, corruption, war, persecution. Life can be very stormy. And Jesus never promised that following him would spare us from suffering. In fact, as he said in the Sermon on the Mount, following him may bring suffering of its own. So here's the question that runs through this whole short parable that Jesus told. What are you building your life on? Because when the storms come, and they will come, your foundation is what matters. But Jesus is speaking more than just the trials of this life. Earlier in the chapter, he said, many will say to me on that day, the day of final judgment. Throughout the Old Testament, God's judgment is pictured as a devastating storm or flood. And later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus compares it to the flood in Noah's day, that people carried on with ordinary life until the flood came, and then it swept them away. These are solemn things to think about. Every one of us will face storms in this life, and every one of us will one day stand before God. And so Jesus leaves us with this one simple question: what are you building your life on? So what's Jesus' parable about? Now, to understand this parable, we need to notice the comparison that Jesus actually makes, because this is not a contrast between people who listen to Jesus and people who listen to someone else. Both builders hear Jesus. Listen to what he says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So did you notice that? Both hear, both may sit in church every week, both may enjoy sermons, read Christian books, join Bible studies, maybe even talk confidently about theology. The difference isn't what they know. The difference is what they do with what they know. One hears Jesus and obeys him. The other hears Jesus, but carries on building their life on something else. And so Jesus asks us, what are you building your life on? Let's look at the first builder. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus' claim is wonderfully simple. Build your life on him. Arrange your life around listening to him and obeying him. Then whatever storms come, your life will stand, not because you are strong, but because your foundation is. Storms may batter you, but they cannot destroy what is built on Christ. And Jesus' warning is also wonderfully practical. Let me use an illustration. Medicine only works if you take it. Reading about healthy eating doesn't make you healthy. A gym membership doesn't make you fit unless you go to the gym. In exactly the same way, hearing Jesus without obeying him changes nothing. But when we listen to his words and put them into practice, our lives begin to rest on something that cannot be shaken. Why? Because the foundation doesn't depend on us. When you trust and obey Jesus, you no longer carry the impossible burden of trying to control your own life. We weren't created to bear that weight. We were made to trust our Father. So instead of relying on ourselves, we can learn to pray, Lord Jesus, guide me. Help me obey you. Lead me through this. I trust you with what I cannot control. And as you do that and practice that over months and years, something changes. Your confidence slowly shifts away from yourself and onto Christ. So when illness comes, when bereavement comes, when financial pressure comes, when disappointment comes, you still grieve, you still struggle, you may even cry out as Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from my groaning? But underneath the pain is a foundation that does not move. Christ remains the same. That's why Jesus can say to you, your house will stand. And this foundation doesn't just carry us through life's storms. It carries us safely through the final storm. Jesus in John's Gospel said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they will follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. When we stand before him on the day of judgment, our confidence won't be that we've lived perfect lives. Our confidence will be that we belong to him. He knows us. He died for us. He holds us. And nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is a foundation that no storm of any kind ever can destroy. But Jesus also gives a solemn warning. It's possible to hear his words and never let them change your life. So Jesus continues, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Now, if you've grown up knowing this passage, especially if you've grown up with the Sunday school song where that's the exciting bit in the song, it can become so familiar that we miss how shocking Jesus' picture really is. A house collapses. Everything is lost. Just think of the devastation we sometimes see on the news after floods or earthquakes or hurricanes. Homes destroyed. Lives turned upside down. That's the picture Jesus chooses. Why? Because he wants us to feel the seriousness of building our lives on the wrong foundation. So again, the question is, what are you building your life on? If it isn't Christ, what is it? Perhaps your career, your savings, your home, your health, your family, your reputation. None of these things are bad. They're good gifts from God, but they were never meant to carry the weight of your life. The very storms Jesus is talking about can take every one of those things away. As many of you will know, health can fail. Savings can disappear. Jobs can end. Relationships can break. Reputations can be destroyed. And if our security and identity rest on those things, then our foundation is only as secure as they are. And they cannot bear the weight. But Jesus can. But notice who Jesus is warning. He isn't speaking, first of all, about atheists or people who have never heard the gospel. He's speaking about people who hear him. People like us. People who come to church. People who listen to sermons. People who know their Bibles. How easy it is to hear God's word, feel challenged for an hour, and then, before we've even reached home, our minds have moved on to tomorrow's plans, the football, Netflix, work, or 100 other things. We hear, but so easily we don't obey. That's why this parable follows Jesus' warning about those who cry, Lord, Lord. Think about the kind of person this describes. This is someone who says to Jesus, Lord, look what I've done for you. Look at the miracles. Look at my service. Look at my church attendance. Look at the sermons I've heard. Look at my knowledge. Do you notice the repeated words? I, me, my. I did. I served. I achieved. I listened. Their confidence is still in themselves. And Jesus replies, I never knew you. They may have looked impressive, but they never truly trusted Jesus. They heard his words, but they had never surrendered their lives. They remained their own foundation, which is why this warning is so searching. The greatest danger is not simply rejecting Jesus. It's appearing to follow him while continuing to build life around yourself. Now, if that's where you find yourself tonight, and to some extent, if you're anything like me, I see myself here, certainly in some ways. But if that's where you find yourself tonight, you think, actually, I've never surrendered to Jesus. Jesus' warning is not meant to drive you to despair. It's meant to bring you to repentance. The house has not yet fallen. Today, there is still time. Turn to Christ. Stop trusting yourself. Begin building on the only foundation that will stand. Because Jesus' invitation is still open. Matthew finishes the Sermon on the Mount with these words. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. The crowd recognized that there was something really different about Jesus. The teachers of the law constantly appealed to other authorities. If you think of some of you who've done research or in university, academic papers are built on a list of references of what the other academics have said before you. Well, that's the kind of thing the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did. They quoted respected rabbis and traditions to support what they taught. Jesus didn't. He spoke with his own authority. So again and again throughout the Sermon on the Mount, he simply says, but I tell you. He doesn't simply explain God's word. He speaks as the one who has the right to define it. And as we've worked through this sermon over recent weeks, Matthew has been giving us clue after clue about who Jesus really is. Like, think back for a moment. Right at the beginning in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you because of me. That was a strange thing for Jesus to say. Because he then compares that to the prophets who suffered because they were faithful to God. And Jesus says, people will suffer because they are faithful to him. Or later he says, you've heard that it was said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, but I tell you. Jesus takes commands from the Old Testament, from the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God on Mount Sinai, and then acts as if he is speaking with an authority greater than Moses himself, not correcting God's law, but revealing its true meaning and fulfillment. And then at the end of chapter 7, as we're looking at, Jesus says that on the final day, people will stand before him. He is the one who either says, I never knew you, or says, welcome. Just think about what Jesus was saying to his original hearers and to us. Jesus says that your and my eternal destiny depends on our response to his words. And so the question becomes unavoidable. This isn't just a good sermon, but who is this? We have the privilege of reading the whole New Testament, which the crowd before Jesus didn't have that day. So we know the answer more clearly than they did. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, one with the Father. Through him, all things were made. He came into the world as the Messiah, the Savior, prophesied through the centuries. He fulfilled God's promises, established God's kingdom, and made a new covenant through his death and resurrection. By rising again, he conquered sin and death and hell and Satan. He ascended into heaven, and he reigns today at the Father's right hand, in absolute authority over all things. Through his Spirit, he is still building his church across the world, calling people from every nation into his kingdom, and one day he will return. He will judge the living and the dead, and he will put an end to every trace of evil. And he will welcome all who have trusted him into the new creation, where every tear is wiped away, sin is gone forever, and God's people will live with him in joy that never ends. That's the one who says to you, build your life on me. That's the one who says to us, hear my words and put them into practice. So once again, Jesus leaves us with the same question. What are you building your life on? Because only one foundation will still be standing when everything else has passed away. I want to end by speaking especially to you who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Perhaps you've been listening to all this and thinking, my obedience is so inconsistent. I fail so often. Don't lose heart. Remember how the Sermon on the Mount began? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Jesus welcomes people who know they have nothing to offer him. He knew exactly what he was taking on when he called you to follow him. This is not a message of earning God's acceptance through obedience. Christianity is not obey well enough and perhaps God will accept you. No, that is a lie. God has already accepted everyone who belongs to Christ, not because of what we've done for him, but because of what he has done for us. So what does Jesus ask of us? Get to know him. And as you know him better, learn to love him more. And as your love for him grows, your obedience will grow too. Jesus said elsewhere, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, he wasn't saying, prove your love by obeying me. No, he was describing what love naturally produces. Love changes what we want. Like, on a personal note, I love my wife, Ruth. My love is very far from perfect, and if she was here, she could tell you in detail about that. But because I do love her, I genuinely want to do things that bless her, care for her, and bring her joy. Not because I have to, because I want to. That's what love does. And it's the same with Jesus. The more we know him, the more we see his goodness, the more we remember his grace, the more we want to please him. So please, from today, don't make it your ambition simply to become better at obeying commands. Make it your ambition to know Christ, love Christ, become like Christ, because that is God's purpose for every believer. Think about Jesus himself. On one occasion when the disciples brought him food and urged him to eat, he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." Doing his Father's will wasn't a burden, it was his delight. And then even in Gethsemane, facing the greatest storm that anyone has ever faced, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." He trusted his Father completely. He obeyed perfectly. And because he stood firm through that storm, we have a foundation that will never fail. So this week ahead of you, seek to know Jesus a little better. Love him a little more. Become a little more like him. When you pray, when you give, when you fast, when you serve, when you forgive, when you choose humility over pride, when you love someone who's difficult to love, do it because you love him. Not to earn his favor, but because you already have his favor. The storms of life will come. Some of you are facing storms right now. Others will be tomorrow. But if your life is built on Christ, the storm will not have the final word, because your foundation is not your own strength. It is him. And one day the final storm will come. We'll stand before the judgment seat. And if your life has been built on Christ, you'll hear the words that every believer longs to hear. "I know you. You're mine. I love you. Welcome. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you. Not because you built a perfect house, but because your house was built on the perfect foundation." So let me leave you with the question Jesus has been asking us all the way through. What are you building your life on? Build your life on Christ. Know him. Love him. Follow him. Obey him. And what